the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Day after a Suns victory, taking care of business last night. I got a lot I want to get caught up on with you as you've been on this stream now for, 9 years? And last night was a monumental night, especially for those of you that have been on my side of the street about things over the last 9 years and how rights are now happening, things that are happening, the wrongs are being put to the side, and what took place on the court last night. Pretty easy to say today that the Suns should just win this series, looking at it on paper, the way they played out on the court against Milwaukee. We'll get into that. Eric is going to be with us because he was in the arena last night. And I've got a lot on my mind. We'll hear from Giannis and others as well. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I'm in Lake Tahoe. So my son got engaged, and I knew that he was going to get engaged. And so when the Suns started winning, you have to make this decision. And for me, it really wasn't that hard. The Suns can keep winning because I've got a great staff at Sports 360, and I'm going to go be at my son's engagement because he wanted me there. So I've been up here the last couple of days. I will be in Milwaukee starting on Saturday. Nothing like 5 days in Milwaukee to get your mind right, but that's where I'm heading. I'll catch up with this more night. Watch the game, though, last night. Later today or tonight, actually, I'm going to go down into Tahoe, the Century American, the celebrity golf tournament they have every year. Actually, I had a boat yesterday. The young lady that my son proposed to the other night and their family, the Surreys, they said, hey, we have a boat. Let's go over to where they're going to hold the tournament. So if you guys watch this golf tournament every year, you know it's all the stars. It's the biggest deal. It's a lot of fun up here. And I've wanted to do shows from up here. And that was not the intention. But after the engagement, it's, well, let's just go down to Tahoe and check it out. So we went down there yesterday and had a great time and then watched the game last night. We'll head down there tonight, and all the celebs will be in town tonight, and we'll have some fun with it. In terms of the game, so, I mean, Giannis likes to jack up crazy shots. When Brooke Lopez is on the floor, there's not a chance for Milwaukee to win the series, in my opinion. There just isn't. Because you look at it and say, on the high pick and roll, there's not a chance that he can stay with Chris Paul. And that's what they did last night. They just abused the Bucks on the high pick and roll. Monty Williams was talking about the importance and the trust of Chris Paul. This was after the game. This was last night.
We always talk about the package of plays that we want to run in certain segments of the game. So we'll have two or three plays, and he'll stay in that environment for a bit. But ever so often, he'll look over to me, and he'll squint, and I'll know he's wanting to play, and then I'll call it. Before, it was just me like, run this, run this, run this. Now, you know, I try my best to stay out of his way because I know what he's seeing. And usually when he calls a play that I didn't give him, it's a play I wanted to run anyway. So I think that's the relationship that we've built over, you know, being together twice and you know, being in this situation with him, I think there's a trust there, and I think that helps.
Yeah, I mean, the trust factor, that's one thing, but because the tempo clearly favored the Suns. They put up 118. I thought they were going to get north of 125 last night, the way that the pace was going in the game. And it just felt like, okay, I know the outcome of this by about the middle of the third quarter before the big run was even finished, because there just wasn't enough offense out there for Milwaukee, and you can't expect Giannis to bring that team all the way back. Here's more of Monty Williams on Chris Paul breaking down the defense of the Bucks.
He's a really good basketball player, and he's one of those rare guys that can see the floor. He knows where all five guys should be. He took advantage of his opportunities tonight versus, you know, their switching defense, and gratefully or thankfully he made shots.
I think Monty was right when he said gratefully. Please switch. Please jump out. Please, please, please come on out here, Mr. Lopez. Knock yourself out. Come out here, Mr. Tucker. try and stay with Chris Paul. Thank you for playing. So just the way that they went about it, it was methodical, I thought. It really was. And here is Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Bucks, on trying to defend against Chris Paul. And this was after the game last night.
He's a good player. You know, their pick and roll game is tough to guard. And, you know, so I think we just got to keep getting better. We'll look at the film, you know, see how we can maybe take away some of the rhythm, you know, to just take it where or make it where he's not getting to his spots as easily. You know, that'll be a big part of looking between game one and game two.
That is coach speak for. We just lost. We got our tails kicked. I really don't want to answer your question. So I'm going to just say, you know, we got to look at the film and all that nonsense. We have to do better. We have to try harder. And yes, series are adjustments. But in this one, how do you adjust unless you change your starting lineup and go smaller if you're Milwaukee and see if that works? If that works, then you're asking Giannis to go against DeAndre on the other end of the floor. And last night, Ayton was really good. To see, for those of you that have been through this whole grind with the Suns, because there's many of you that are just now coming on board, and it's fine. It's fine. But for those that have watched the DeAndre Ayton from day one, when he came out of the U of A, over to where he is now with the Suns, and the growing pains, and the just frustration, and is this thing ever going to work out? There was a stretch in the moment in the game last night. I don't know if you guys remember this. This is in the second half where Chris and Devin both went over to DeAndre and they were talking to him about switching, and Jeff Van Gundy was on top of it and saw it and talked about, yeah, that's the way that you need to be. This is the leadership that you have. It works right now because you've gotten all the way here to the finish line. Don't know if it works. Usually in sports, year after year, the message starts to wear thin. That's just the way it goes. Guys want to go get bigger deals. Guys want more interest, so on and so forth. All that put to the sideline right now, here in July, where they are playing so much more together as a team, in my opinion, than Milwaukee. And I saw Milwaukee. I watched all this stuff on the Eastern Conference side. Milwaukee at times just puts up some of the dumbest shots and plays dumb basketball. There's no other way to put it. And some of you will be put off by that because the coach is from Arizona. Mike Budenholzer is from Arizona. He's from Holbrook. Not picking on Mike. It's just a fact. When your team doesn't play smart at times, you're going to get yourselves into a hole. And I thought, the whole buildup of Chris Paul against Jrue Holiday didn't come to fruition last night. So, yeah, it's going to be adjustments. Do I think it's a clean sweep? No. Fans want it to be a clean sweep? No. I think I'm going to be in Milwaukee. Well, I know I'm going to be there for those two games. But the Suns should really win this series. They really should. Now that you've seen both teams, because you can't tell me that there's three wins away. They are three wins away from a title. You can't tell me that in three of the next six games, they can't figure out a way to bust through Milwaukee. I just don't see it. I really don't see it. Giannis, you want to shoot a three? God bless you. Brooke Lopez, you want to jack up a three? Knock yourself out. And you might hit some. But it's just really impressive. All right, and then you know, I left out Campaign and Cam Johnson. I've got that, Cam squared. I've got that on my my show sheet today. So it wasn't just the 20 points. A lot of it was the 20 points. But Cam Johnson last night said, you know what? I don't mind going against Giannis. I don't care. I don't care who he is. I like that. I liked his grit. You can't just have one or two guys that have grit about them, and this team continues to get a little tougher. And I don't know if Milwaukee can do that. Eric Sorensen was in the building last night. He covered the game for Sports 360 AZ. He is next, and we continue on. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Eric is with us. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day or the week, the month, the year. You were in the building last night. You are a native, and I texted you earlier, and you were effusive in praise. So I will just let the floor be yours. How was yesterday for you, not in the company side, but just as someone who's grown up here?
Pretty surreal, Brad. It didn't really sink in until I was walking from the parking garage onto the concourse, and I went to the front of the arena, and you see the big NBA Finals banner and all the people out in front taking pictures on their cell phones and all like the TV cameras and the kid doing the, you know, people on the street interviews and things like that. There were people from other countries there, and it was just, it just seemed like a big time event. And earlier in the day, when I went to pick up my credential, downtown was actually pretty dead. Yeah. So I'm trying not to compare 93 to present day, but in terms of like the atmosphere in the valley, I think it was way more chaotic in 93.
Okay. So when you walk into the building last night, goosebumps, or is it just, I got a job to do?
Oh, goosebumps, yeah. Goosebumps, because it just, I don't know, it just hits different with the Suns, because like we talked, you and I talked about last week after the Clippers series, you know, the Suns are the baby, as Devin Booker would say. They were the first team here, and I grew up like going to games in the Madhouse McDowell, and my parents watched every single game up until about 2013 and then took about 6 years off, and now they're back. Like everybody. So, it's pretty typical. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Okay, so the game happens, and what struck you about the game?
The Bucks might be too nice to win the NBA title. There are no Morris twins. There is no Pat Beverly.
PJ Tucker's there, isn't he?
Yeah, but no, because PJ Tucker's old, and he's not Pat Beverly. I mean, just isn't. Like, yeah. PJ Tucker's a nice player, but if you watched any of that Hawks series, if Pat Beverly and Giannis, I mean, if Giannis and PJ Tucker shoot a bunch of threes, the Suns aren't going to lose this series.
Right.
If, you know, if Connaughton and some of those other guys, if Middleton keeps getting hot, the Bucks have a chance. But I don't know, Brad. I'm kind of starting to believe that this might be the year, maybe.
See, I think Budenholzer cannot play Brook Lopez anymore. It's not like you go to the end of the bench, I'm not going to play you much. But when Brook Lopez is on the floor with Giannis, he just gets in the way. He's a load. And when Brook Lopez is trying to guard Chris Paul on switches, on the pick and roll, forget it. It's over. It's done. This is pretty simple basketball 101. And we had Marcus Johnson on day before yesterday, the great Buck, who's their analyst, and he flat said, you know, Brook Lopez cannot do well on the pick and roll, and he didn't do well up until the Hawks series. He started playing a little bit better against Trae Young, and I'll be darned if last night it wasn't the exact same script where they just chewed him up and spit him out.
But the Suns have a great advantage with DeAndre Ayton. I mean, not only does he set great screens, but he presents a problem after he sets those screens. Because even if you have Giannis switching on to Chris Paul, then you're gonna get stuck like we saw last night with PJ Tucker or someone else trying to guard DeAndre Ayton. And that's the biggest problem for the Bucks. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Brad. I thought last night Monty Williams completely outcoached Mike Budenholzer. You know, Mike Budenholzer would call a timeout, make a little adjustment, they'd go on a tiny little run, the Suns would answer back. Like I never really felt like the Bucks were in the game last night. And for the Suns to just basically – the Suns didn't even shoot great. I mean, they shot 46%, which is okay. They didn't shoot threes well. If the Suns can just hold serve, they're going to win the NBA title.
Well, I'll tell you what. Cam times two, Cam squared, between those two last night coming off the bench, there wasn't like a feel – like I thought Bobby Portis would give them more. I kind of like him as a player. Middleton is a good player. Okay, they got some wiry athletic guys. They really weren't a factor in the whole buildup of Drew Holiday against Chris Paul became negligible, I think. And I was going through something you and I've talked about, and I've talked about with staff and guests and all that, is the best point guard in the history of the Phoenix Suns. And it's Steve Nash. None of them have gotten this far. Kevin got this far, Kevin Johnson. But you have to start looking at it saying, this is the best point guard in Suns history.
He's one of the best point guards in NBA history. And I asked Greg Esposito during the season, like, hey, so who would you take, Nash or Chris Paul? And he said Chris Paul, like, without even thinking about it. Yeah. And I said, even with the two MVPs? And his response was, yeah, Nash had a nice little five-year window. But when you look at the total body of work, it's not even close. Chris Paul is a much better pro.
Did you see any Bucks fans there?
On the concourse, before the game, I saw two. I honestly, Brad, I saw two. I saw a lady in a Giannis jersey next to a lady in a Bucks t-shirt, and that's it. And in the arena, there were, if I'm guessing, less than 100. I mean, it wasn't like the late, even the Denver series, you saw a lot of Jokic jerseys.
Yeah.
Last night, there were no Bucks fans there. And when I say no, I mean hardly any.
See, I'm going to Milwaukee on Saturday and for game 3 and 4 on Sunday. I'm going to go out to the Deer Farm or whatever is they call that, where all the fans are, and just try and find somebody. And I might even wear a Suns hat and see if I just get pulverized, if I just beer thrown, or if these people are really nice and they're just, hey, your team blows and we're going to win. Well, that's fine. Trash talk a little bit. But I might get cheese curds thrown at me. I don't know. And I'm just curious how Eric, because there's a game on Sunday and another game on Wednesday, I've got to be in Milwaukee for 5 days.
Oh, the next game's not till Wednesday?
Till Wednesday. 2 days off.
Oh.
So 5 days in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Nice people. Don't see it happening. Don't see it sitting there saying, man, this is great. This is awesome. This is amazing.
I would maybe see if the Brewers are in town. You could go to that. And what you could do, Brad, just jump on a train and go to Chicago and see your daughter. I know you just saw her.
Take a train. No, it's clear. I'm going to do a show. I don't want the audience to think. I mean, I'm here in Lake Tahoe, for crying out loud. Son got engaged, and I'm going to go down to the golf tournament here today. And Charles is supposed to be here, supposed to meet up, maybe, possibly. I doubt it. But I can't go screwing around too much, but it's Milwaukee. Like the Laverne and Shirley Memorial or a brewery or something. But
yeah, I guess. I don't know. But like you said, Chicago's close. Like Chicago's not far. So
but your tone today is one of you're celebratory. Like you see light at the end of the tunnel here. Like the Suns are going to win this thing.
No, I do. And, you know, I clowned on you when you put the magic numbers up during the Lakers series. But now now we're at 3. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And I just think back to, like, if the Suns are playing the Nets right now, I mean, it would be the Nets would probably be favored. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just look at this Bucks team and they've got 3 or 4 really good players, but they just don't have that thing. And as Charles Barkley said, like the Bucks just play dumb. And we saw it a little bit last night where there were just times where it's like, what's going on here? Like Giannis can get to the basket whenever he wants. Yeah. But he wants to play out on the perimeter and shoot those elbow shots. And if you want to shoot threes, go ahead. And we all know about his free throw issues. And I don't know, like game two is if the Bucks have any shot, they pretty much have to win game two. Oh, no, I'm not reinventing the wheel by saying that.
It's what team wins on the other's home court.
You know. Yeah, but the Suns are a good road team. Like they've done well in the playoffs on the road. So Milwaukee better figure out a way to win game two, because if it goes back to Milwaukee and they're down 2-0, if the Suns just get a split, it's done. So
yeah, one last question. Rachel Nichols or Maria Taylor? Whose side are you on this? Do you know about this story?
I did.
What side are you on this one?
Why do TV people think they're so important?
I don't know.
Well, that's my biggest thing. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I can see why Rachel Nichols would be upset. And ESPN has had so many internal problems when it comes to race issues, as you know. It's funny because I watched The Jump on ESPN, which Rachel Nichols hosted, and I was working yesterday, so I put on the DVR and I went to watch it yesterday. No Jump. They had on Jalen Rose's show. ESPN's not really saying much. They're just kind of keeping their mouth shut. But I'm more concerned about just trying to see the Suns win this championship.
I understand that. I'll let you go off that. Thanks. And would you do it again? Would you go to another game if you had the opportunity?
For sure. I mean, I already have my credential. And it's like a real credential, Brad. It's not like the little paper credentials that the Suns gave out, you know, during the playoffs. Like, it's the real thing. So, and I got my official NBA Finals mask as well. So.
Okay. I could send you to Milwaukee if you wanted 5 days.
I'm not going to be able to do that. But if you need me to cover another home game, I will.
So. All right. See you. Get out of here. Here's Eric Sorensen. We're back with more after this timeout. So with the Suns up a game and And I think most anybody who watched this last night is probably saying, let's just get this over with. Because do you see five games? Six, even if you're like me, objective, not sitting here cheerleading, rah-rah and all that stuff, it's pretty defined as to where we are. So there's people like Jerry Colangelo, who's up in Las Vegas today. There's people like Tom Ambrose, who is a legend in the Valley. These are names that, if you weren't here in 93, that paved the way for this organization to get to where it is. Yes, Robert Sarver's done a really good job the last couple of years. The last couple of years, if you were to go through Robert and check boxes, starting with James Jones, going to Monty Williams, convincing Monty to not go to the Lakers, not come to the Clippers. The DeAndre Ayton pick now looks great. It didn't early, and there are people inside the Suns that didn't think it was looking good. I think anybody watching basketball was wide open to this isn't great, but he's just a pup. So let's be patient on this, and they've been patient, and now it's starting to come through. I feel like there's a guy named Rob Harris that you should know about. And I may put Tom and Rob on because these are two guys that put together the team, the backbone of this team, to make them the powerful impact that they are in the community. Look, when the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl in 2009, there wasn't near the buzz. There wasn't. Because there are so many Packers fans and Cowboy fans and Steelers fans that they're just kind of, and they live in Gilbert and they live in Surprise and they live in Peoria and they live in downtown Phoenix. This team, they had over 200,000 fans after they lost to the Bulls in the finals in 93. No matter what happens, there's going to be something in downtown Phoenix. No matter what happens the rest of the series, if they end up losing the series, they end up winning the series. Downtown will get beyond packed. You think it's crazy? Like Spurge went out to the airport a couple times. It's going to be times 10 that when they come back from Milwaukee next Wednesday night, no matter what the series looks like, no matter what. And if they win this thing, who knows how many people are going to be in downtown? I feel good for the businesses in downtown Phoenix that have grinded, that have just gone through the years and years of bad teams and no fans down there. The bars down there, the hotels down there, the businesses in downtown have taken a beating because the team was so bad for so long. But now in the last couple of years, and in particular now, they hung in there and now their businesses are thriving coming out of the pandemic. I feel very good for those people. You know, I think the politicals in town have done a good job, no matter. And there's some people that feel like Robert got a good deal with the arena. Whether he did or he didn't, he got the arena upgraded. There's nothing worse than going in sports, than going to a dilapidated building where people are trying to say, oh, it's just fine. It's just great. No. And the arena was showing its wear and tear from all the concerts, all the shows, all the events that are in there. It's not just the Suns. And if you don't have a good arena, then you're going to have an owner that's going to say, yeah, you know, Chris Paul making $46 million next year, we're not going to do that. Robert's already been on CNBC saying, we're not letting Chris Paul out of here. Now, if Chris Paul decides on August 1st to opt out, that's up to Chris Paul. I don't see it happening myself, but you just don't know. When Cam Payne turns a free agent here in a few weeks, in every way, shape, and form, he should explore the market. He should go be his own guy. Or, you know, I have got a good situation here in Phoenix. Chris can mentor me for another year. Chris will then retire, and away we go. Obviously, I feel good for Al McCoy. Al last night doing a championship game at 88 years old. It's great stuff. So game number two is tomorrow night. A couple other things. Do you see that? I know I shouldn't even ask. So the Diamondbacks, because they are this year's Diamondbacks, they won a game last night on the road. It's the second time they've won a game on the road since the middle of May. That's how bad they've been. You want to know how they won? They won on David Peralta getting hit by a pitch in the ninth inning to bring in a run with the bases loaded in front of family and friends in Colorado. That's how goofy this, their season has been. N'Keal Harry, you remember him, the great Sun Devil. Oh, man, he's a first-round pick. He's going to be awesome and amazing in New England. No, he hasn't been awesome and amazing in New England. So his agent yesterday said, get us out of here. So N'Keal Harry's out there. And the way the Cardinals like to bring back former Sun Devils, I would think they're probably a kicking of the tires. And the one last story, and I just love the story, and we're not going to get into it as long as the Suns are doing their thing. I might do a business of sports side with Darren Revelle next week, but did you see what the Miami boosters are doing at the University of Miami? So we've talked here about name, image, and likeness. Name, image, likeness is going to be a big deal starting July 1st. That's coming from Brad's mouth, I don't know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. So name, image, likeness starts. And what happens on name, image, likeness? A booster for the University of Miami, the U, comes out and says, I will pay every player, $4,000. You can't script this stuff. So 90 kids, 100 kids, $4,000 for name, image, likeness. Like the fourth string kicker is going to get $4,000. What was I reading this morning? Nebraska, they've got players. Nebraska football has been just awful for a while, a long while. And they've got players doing deodorant deals. Makes sense because they stink. But they're going to be paid. And as this thing unfolds, it's way beyond now what I had even thought just here in the first week of name, image, likeness. You've got Lee Steinberg, who's been on this show, and I'm going to bring Lee back. He went to Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at Oklahoma, the former Pinnacle quarterback, and said, you know, Spencer, I'm going to help you with your name, image, likeness. So he's circumventing the whole deal, and he's got Spencer endorsing a chicken chain. Of course he does. So Lee already has his foot in the door to be the agent for the quarterback when he turns pro and already has his endorsement deals in place. I've got high school parents calling me about this. I have a friend whose daughter is a great runner. He's like, well, why couldn't I just take my daughter down to the running store and she could get free shoes and free gear? So I reached out to the AIA. I got a, you know, we haven't really crossed that bridge yet. Well, guess what? You might want to consider getting on the bridge and finishing it because it's coming. This whole NIL thing. And these are cool stories all being pushed to the side with what's going on with the amazing run by the Suns. And the Suns are the focal point. All right, we'll be back at it here tomorrow from Tahoe. We're going to go down tonight. I'm going to try to check in on the big events down here and the deal with Steve Young tonight. Charles is in town and all these people. And then tomorrow night, of course, be game number 2 with the Suns and Milwaukee. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Steve Burney got after it today, produced the heck out of this show. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Nothing, and our entire staff. We have plenty of content over on the website. Check it out at sports360az.com. Have yourself a great Wednesday.